95.3 WBCK now presents Coach's Corner, live from Lakeview Ford. For over six decades, this has been your number one source for all local sports information. Coach's Corner is proudly presented by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now, here's your host, Bill Broderick.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, in the big chair once again on WBCK for another edition of Coach's Corner, coming to you live from downtown Battle Creek at Lakeview Ford on the Motor Mile. For more than 60 years, Coach's Corner has been talking to the city high school coaches about the week in sports, and we will continue to do that as we talk about the big games from last night, and we will look ahead to the week 8 of the high school football season, which is already here, with our first coach of the morning. But first, here's the Lakeview Ford Coach's Corner scoreboard. Last night, Harper Creek earned a huge win in Interstate 8 conference play, beating league favorite Hastings 32-0. Harper Creek has now beaten the two co-favorites in the conference, Hastings and Parma Western, in back-to-back weeks, giving Harper Creek first place alone in the conference with 2 weeks left of conference play as they head towards a possible league championship. In the longest-running rivalry west of the Alleghenies, Battle Creek Central lost to Kalamazoo Central 66-14. Marshall beat Penfield 37-8. Stevensville Lakeshore earned its first win of the year as it defeated Lakeview 38-12. An undefeated Mendon was too much for St. Phil in a 62-20 win. In the area, Union City remained undefeated, and the Chargers clinched its third straight Big 8 title as they earned a 45-21 win over Springport in a battle of first-place teams. Climax Scott stayed in first place in its conference with a 36-6 win over Bellevue. In other games, Olivet beat Lakewood 21-10. Cullen was too much for Athens 21-6. Coldwater fell to Okemos 21-14. It was Loyne Oryx 31, Gull Lake 11. Bronson beat Quincy 64-13. And Homer lost to Addison 60-22. We will be back with our first coach of the morning after this on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back here on Coach's Corner on WBCK. We're here with our first coach of the morning, St. Phil assistant coach Chris Rabbit. How's it going, Coach, this morning?
I'm good, Bill. How are you?
Coach Pacetti had a wedding this morning. He had to catch a flight early and ran out of town, so thanks for stepping in for him. And you guys played Mendon last night. Mendon won 62-20. Mendon remains undefeated and one of the powers in the state every year in eight-player football. Talk about how that game went early, and did you guys find yourself in a hole early where you're playing a little bit of catch-up?
Yeah, well, like you said, they're a great program, historically a great program, well coached. They do a lot of things right, and they just were able to get up on us early and trying to dig ourselves out of a hole. And against a good team like that, that's a hard thing to do.
You guys were able to put some points on the board and move the ball a little bit. Your quarterback Colt Myers had 304 yards passing. He had two touchdowns. He added 52 yards on the ground and another touchdown. Carter Diswick had six catches for 176 yards, a big game for him receiving. And Brady Lightfoot also had 98 yards receiving and a touchdown. So moving the ball, but it's hard to keep up with Mendon when they're scoring almost every time they touch the ball. So talk about that dynamic a little bit.
Yeah, Colt has been having a great season. He can really get the ball out there, and we've got some great receivers. Carter had a great game. Yeah, that solid run game that Mendon has, they can really control the pace of the game, and then we end up playing catch-up. Colt and Brady and Carter, they had some great connections, and a lot of good things going on in our passing game. We just got to get the run game back up and running.
With that loss, you guys fell to 4-3. Mendon's undefeated on the year, and that moves forward to seeing an Athens team next week. And and a chance to possibly get to 5-3 as you guys are trying to make a little push for the postseason. How important are these games coming forward for you in terms of getting wins when you need to against teams that you can beat?
Yeah. We've had our losses have been some tough losses, Climax, Bellevue, and now Mendon. But we still have eyes on the playoffs. We've got two games that we need to take care of our business and play our game. And right now we're 0-0, looking to go 2-0 and try and make a playoff spot. So, and that's the message that we're putting to the kids they're warriors. We're playing with the past 2 weeks. We've had 11 kids dress for an 8-man game, and so they take that challenge and they're ready for it, and they want to make the playoffs. So that's our goal.
How did the health come out last night? You guys, like you said, you've been working with just bare minimum numbers for a lot of the year, and you guys come out pretty much healthy last night and heading into next week.
Yep. We were able to get out with no injuries last night. That's always a benefit, always a plus. We came into the season with a good core group of seniors that were the leaders of our team, and two of those guys went down early in the season, and so underclassmen have stepped up, first year guys have stepped up, and everybody's pitching in to. Whether it's a position that you typically play or just getting moved around to a different spot, everybody's stepping in and doing what they can to get a win.
Tell us a little bit about Athens, what you've seen on tape so far. Athens struggling a little bit. They haven't won a game yet this year, but are they struggling with numbers so much, or trying a young program trying to learn on the way? Is that what you kind of seen?
Yeah, I think Athens is very much like us. They've got not too many players in numbers, and so they're in the same boat as we are. But they've got a strong line, which we all know in this game. If you can control the line of scrimmage, then you're in a good spot. So from what we see, they're better than what their record reflects, and we know they're going to give us a good game and really come to play.
Another game that's of interest to people who follow 8-player football next week is the Mendon versus Climax Scotts. And you guys have played both of those teams and played Mendon last night and Climax Scotts a few weeks ago. Help us out a little bit with the scouting report on that game. That's a huge game for both those programs. And for people who like 8-player football and small school football in the state, it doesn't get much better than Mendon versus Climax Scotts. What have you seen this year with those two teams?
Yeah, that's going to be a great matchup. Some power running back and forth, and they're going to get after each other. So that would be a good one if you haven't seen it, to go out and watch.
Or if you're a St. Phil fan, go ahead and watch St. Phil first and then hear about the Mendon Climax game.
That's right.
So we don't want to get any people away from there. But thanks a lot, Coach, for stepping in this morning. Coming off the bench, did a good job there. Thanks, Coach.
And, yeah, thank you.
We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Coach's Corner on 95.3 WBCK. Proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
This is Bill Broderick back here on Coach's Corner. We're here with our next Coach of the Morning, Coach Lauren Granger. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
We had Battle Creek Central heading over to Kalamazoo Central. You guys rode the school bus this time instead of the buckboard wagons, but it was a renewal of the longest-running rivalry of the Alleghenies, a rivalry that started before the 1900s, so that's how long they've been going. And Kalamazoo Central came away with a 66-14 win. Kalamazoo Central improves to 5-2. They're having one of their best seasons in years. It's their most wins that they've had in a single season since 2018. And you ran into a big and tough Kalamazoo Central team, but you were telling us before the show started that you guys were playing really well early, and then the switch kind of flipped after that.
Yeah, we really, for one quarter, we played pretty good football. We put together probably the most impressive offensive drive that we've had all year on our first possession. That's the first time all year we've scored on our first possession. And it was very methodical. We were very disciplined. Kids played really hard. We controlled most of the first quarter, overall, because even after we scored to take the initial lead, we recovered the kickoff. It wasn't an onside kick, but we just got to the ball faster than they did. And then we actually scored on that possession as well, but it got called back for holding. So, you know, the first quarter, we were up 6-0, and we felt pretty good about the way we were playing. You know, we played only a couple minutes of that whole quarter on defense. But, you know, it was just kind of, after that, it was like a totally different game, you know. We just did not play very well.
What do they do to give you trouble? They're big up front, and they can possess the ball a little bit, and they do have some speed on the outside, just like they always do. And things kind of switched fast in the second quarter. Did they grab momentum with any key plays, or did it just kind of happen all?
No, the plays they ran were exactly what we thought we would see. They have great team speed. I will tell you that they were state champions in track last year, and it shows. They were definitely much faster than we were. They up front, they play their linemen only on one side of the ball. So, you know, they were fresh. Their offensive linemen were fresh in the second quarter, whereas our linemen had been playing, you know, both ways for the whole game so far. And you could start to see fatigue start to set in there, especially halfway through the second quarter. They just were up front. They were out physical in us. And then, you know, we just continue to have some of the strangest luck on the planet. I don't know where it comes from sometimes, but, you know, three straight offensive possessions on the very first play, we throw an interception. Two of those are deflected off the hands of our receiver and into the hands of a maroon giant going the other way. And it's just like, how does that happen? You know, I believe two of them were returned for touchdowns, and it was just, you know, it's just when the hits come, they just keep coming sometimes, and that's what it felt like last night. And unfortunately, we weren't able to recover from it. We did score again on the last play of the first half to give us our 14 points, but by then we'd given up 39 points in one quarter.
And that's kind of crazy. But what you saw maybe a little bit is a glimmer of some progress going forward. Greg Williams played quarterback for you again last night. It's the second start, and it's a position change for him as you kind of rotate through that important position. And he's strong as a running quarterback. He's shown some of those skills there, and he had a rushing touchdown for you. He also had that touchdown pass to R.J. Gray late in the first half that you talked about. And mm-hmm. You're looking for some things that can give you some positive momentum going forward. And you mentioned the pick sixes that he also threw. But did you see something from Greg Williams again as he takes another step towards that progression, and from a kid that wasn't playing quarterback early in the year?
Yeah, he played really well early on. We may have lost him last night, though. Actually, he didn't play much in the second half for potential concussion. So we had R.J. Gray back in there playing quarterback in the second half. And so, yeah, we saw some good things out of Greg. Obviously, the interceptions are a problem. I can't really place all the blame on him. Some of it, like I said, was just dumb luck. But obviously, there's been some improvements there since having him at quarterback. Offensively, we've done some things that we weren't able to do early on in the season. But I do overall, I'm disappointed with last night's performance. I feel like we took a couple steps back, and that's not our goal. And so that part, you know, is tough to swallow, because I don't mind losing if we lose while improving and making progress toward our overall goal. But last night I felt like we lost and took steps back from where we had been, and, you know, it's disappointing overall.
That means there's a big week coming up for you guys at practice to try to get things right on the right page again. And you're playing St. Joe next week on the road. And St. Joe Bears, a proud program over there. You want to get some things figured out this week. It sounds like you have a little bit of a merry-go-round continually at quarterback, so you'll have to figure that out also. So what are the things have you seen about St. Joe, and what are the situations that you guys face as you head into next week?
Well, it doesn't get any easier for us. We're going to have to kind of step up and man up, so to speak, because, you know, our challenge just gets larger. And St. Joe is a big and physical team. They're a very good team. And I believe prior to last night, they were ranked number 8 in the state in their division. And but then, you know, as soon as we get by that week, we play a team that beat them 24-7 last night. So the next 2 weeks are a big challenge for our kids, for our coaches, and you know, it's going to be tough to maintain focus and stay motivated when you have those big of mountains in front of you. But that's going to be our goal, and we'll figure out a way to get that done, and we'll compete. You know, we'll find a way to compete, but we've got to take our 24 hours and forget that performance last night, because it can't weigh heavy on your mind moving forward, or you won't be able to progress.
Yeah, it's always tough to play in the SMAC. You got tough games every week, of course, and with St. Joe and Madawan coming up the next 2 weeks, that is a challenging schedule for you. And the guys going forward, and you talked about this before over the last couple of weeks, and the senior leaders that you do have on your team, it's a small senior class, and trying to keep the team together. Talk about some of those guys in terms of their positive challenges that they have, and you got some guys that are sticking to it and mm-hmm. trying to make things happen for this team.
Yeah, Cali Bay is one of our captains. He continues to be, you know, not only a great player, but just he does everything he can, and I mean everything, to try and to rally his team and motivate his team. And, you know, sometimes I know he probably feels like he's carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders, but just a great kid, great team player, and overall really, really happy to have him on my team. Hector Sanchez has kind of been the quiet guy in the back of the room, but very consistent, you know, running back, linebacker for us. And he never does anything really to make you say, oh, who was that? But, you know, when you need a guy to step in and really, you know, be consistent, he's been that guy. Unfortunately, you know, he's one of the ones last night that took an injury. We had quite a few guys, but he and Maurice Mandoka, one of our other seniors, both came out of the game with injury last night, so I'm just not sure the severity of those right now. I'm not sure if they'll be able to play next week or not. But yeah, the, you know, anytime you have a season like this, you feel bad for your seniors, you know, because they've put in a lot of time and a lot of hard work. And the ones that are left, we don't have very many left from the original. We had 39 of them when they were freshmen, and there's only 7 on our roster now. So, you know, that's for a variety of reasons, but these kids stuck with it and they're still with us and they still believe, and, you know, they haven't left, and I don't think they will. So you try to salvage what you can from the last part of their season and try to make it memorable as much as you can. And that's our goal for them. All right, thanks.
We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Inquirer, back on Coach's Corner. Coach Hatton of Penfield is usually in this segment. He couldn't be with us this morning, but Penfield found himself in a tough game with rival Marshall last night. It was Penfield's homecoming. Marshall came away with a 37-8 win in the Interstate 8 conference game. Marshall improves to 3-4 in the year. Penfield falls to 1-6. Two teams were playing a tight football game early with some dramatic big plays highlighting the action. Marshall started with a 72-yard touchdown run by Akindo Olapade for an 8-0 lead. And before the first quarter was over, Penfield responded with a 35-yard interception return for a score by Drayshawn Bailey to make it 8-8. But from there, Marshall scored 29 unanswered points, and it was all Red Hawks after that. Marshall had 14 points in the second quarter and led 22-8 by halftime. And they added 15 more points in the second half to get the one-sided win. They did it mostly on the ground. Olapade had 198 yards rushing as he continues to have a big season in the new offense under first-year coach Scott Farley. 198 yards on 32 carries and four touchdowns for him. The Redhawks also scored on a touchdown pass from Austin Miller to Jay Saunders. Penfield got some production from its running game. Brendan Back had 76 yards rushing. And Gavin May stepped up on defense as he has all season again. He had seven tackles for the Panthers. Penfield heads on the road next week. They go to Jackson Northwest. Jackson Northwest is 2-5 so far in the season. Northwest lost last night to Jackson Parma Western, one of the favorites in the league in the preseason, 44-31, but putting up 31 points against Parma Western shows that Jackson Northwest is becoming on. They won two of their last four games to create a threat. They beat Penfield 31-20 last year, and that makes Jackson Northwest a tough matchup for the Panthers. Following that, Penfield has to go on the road to play at Parma Western. So two road games to end the year for the Panthers, who are having a little bit of struggles with their young squad so far. They're 1-6. They're trying to get another win on the schedule before the season goes out. Marshall, of course, has a big game against Harbor Creek next week. We'll talk more about Marshall and that Harbor Creek matchup when we talk to the Harbor Creek coach, Mason Converse, later in the hour. But we're looking for Penfield to possibly step up against on the road at Jackson Northwest next week, get a much-needed victory, and have some good things to talk about with Coach Hatton next week when he joins us. We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here on 95.3 FM WBCK.
On 95.3 WBCK, proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
This is Bill Broderick back here on Coach's Corner. We're here with our next Coach of the Morning, Coach Brett Vernon of the Lakeview Spartans. Good morning, Coach.
Morning.
Lakeview played Stevensville Lakeshore last night. Lakeview fell 38-12. And you and I were talking a little bit ago. Lakeview was in the game for the longest time and then just stubbed his toe a couple times with just some errors that just kind of came out of the blue, a holding penalty or stopping a third down, just some frustrating things for the Spartans that continue to kind of hit them most of the year, and it's just been hard to get any momentum in the year, and maybe when that keeps happening, it kind of builds on itself a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, thing is, we can take some bright spots out of all of our games that we've played, but the issue has just been, again, just too many mistakes, too many drive killers, whether it's a penalty, whether it's a fumble, something that's killing our drives. Last night's, kind of a perfect example. We get 2, 3, 4 first downs, holding call, wide open drop pass, just something there that kind of puts us behind the chains a little bit, and then just tough with our lack of kind of a vertical passing game, tough to get that first down when we get into long situations.
You're talking about how you were in the game still late, 17-7, and then you get all the way down to the 1 yard line and get stopped right there. Talk about that momentum turn right there.
Well, so you might have mistaken me. Yeah. It was close to halftime.
Okay.
And so we had a chance to, we were getting the ball at half. I had a chance to score there in the second quarter and made it 14-7. In turn, it was 17-0 by the time we went into halftime. We're getting the ball. They kicked an onside right off the get-go. They recovered it, and next play went down and scored. And then from there, we were playing big catch-up, trying to get back into the game. Just talk about those mistake things. We can't let those things happen in order for us to be successful.
Brendan Bourne scored for you last night on offense. You also had a touchdown on defense with an interception return by Owen Warren. And Lakeview coming up short in that game, that has to be frustrating for the team who wanted to find some momentum after getting some in the last couple of weeks here and trying to move forward. And talk about that as a momentum killer there for a season a little bit. What you have to kind of the challenges this week to try to get that back?
You know, I think we knew going to that game that the 0-6 mark that Stevensville Lakeshore had, I don't think was a direct reflection of what they had on that team. They're young, but they have a quarterback that's pretty darn good. Got some zip on his ball, great accuracy. And then you throw in some skilled players that are around them. And they're going five wide, spreading it out, throwing the football. I honestly, until the fourth quarter, I think they threw the ball probably about 40 straight times, and had a lot of success, with it. We didn't have a pass rush up front, and so he kind of got to sit back there and as you know, you get 4 or 5 seconds sit back in that pocket, tough to keep that coverage on some of those wide receivers. And I'm going to give some credit to our DBs. Our DBs were doing a decent job through there. It was just with a lack of pass rush, a lack of getting pressure on the quarterback, maybe getting flushed out of the pocket. That extra time allowed him to find something. He's a good quarterback, and that's what he did. So again, we can find some solid points from the game that we can hopefully build off of, because I think we did some things better than we have in the past. It just, we're not 11 for 11 on alignment assignment stuff, and so there, you know, there's cracks in the wall, and they're finding a way to push through. So still 2 games left in the season. We got to find a way to finish it strong. We got a tough team, Portage Central, coming up, and we know that's going to be tough. But can we be physical in that game? Can we execute in that game? And really looking for what we do, not quite what they do. Can we eliminate some of our mistakes and grow from there? And then we got the last game of Gull Lake. So hopefully we can finish on a high note and get some confidence for these younger guys as we move into the offseason.
Portage Central comes into Lakeview next week, and they're always a tough team to play, as the way they run the ball and trying to just move the chains that way, and you're trying to get them off the field is the key, and keep their possession short and to give you guys a little bit more chance to get the ball. Is that how you see that there?
Yeah, I mean, defensively they're kind of wonky a little bit with the way they run defense. They're going to try to force you to throw the ball, as they like that cover three. And the key is, again, being physical up front. We got out physical them. And I think at times we've done a decent job up front of being physical. But consistently, again, alignment, assignment, football, keeping with that is going to be key.
We'll look forward to talking more about that game. Portage Central is coming to Lakeview. Lakeview has a home game there, and then they finish up on the road at Gull Lake after that. Well, hopefully we'll be talking about a Spartan victory next week, Coach. We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks for coming in.
Sounds good. Thanks, sir.
We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
This is Bill Broderick back here with our next Coach of the Morning here on WBCK. We're here with Coach Mason Converse of the victorious Harbor Creek Beavers. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Bill.
Harbor Creek had a huge victory last night in Interstate 8 conference play. They played the defending champs, Hastings Saxons, at Harbor Creek, and Harbor Creek came away with a 32-0 win. Harbor Creek controlled the clock early, controlled the game from the get-go, and dominated Hastings in a way that I'm not too sure too many people would have thought were coming along the road. Harbor Creek, I'm sure, was confident they were going to win, but to win 32-0 and get a shutout against Hastings team that you hadn't beaten in 4 years, and that was a little bit of a surprise.
Well, Hastings is a fantastic program, especially over since 2020, really, and we felt confident about our ability to beat them. You never see a score like that in a championship game or a championship-type game. You never see something like that coming, and it's one of those situations where the game plan went about as perfect as it could have gone. I mean, we knew and still know that their offense is very good at what they do. They're very disciplined. They're terrific with their technique, and they're tough to stop at what they do. And so the game plan was to win the opening coin toss, which that doesn't always go your way because it's a coin flip. So we won the toss and keep the ball away from them as much as possible. So I thought it was probably pretty obvious what we were trying to do because we were running the clock down to just a few seconds left on the play clock every single time, but we ran 9 minutes off the clock on that first drive, even went for it on a fourth down in our territory because we knew we can't get into a track meet with them, and we wanted to be able to score and then have them try and keep up with us. And so to take 9 minutes off the clock in the first quarter was huge, and then to get them to go three and out, they've only punted three times all year. So to get them to punt, that was their third punt, and for us to go back down and score again and go up 16-0, that was big for us. And the other thing, one of the other things we focused on all week was being efficient on our two-point conversions. We weren't planning on kicking because they go for two every time, and we talked about the importance of that, whether they scored or we scored. Those two-point plays were huge, and we were 4-for-4 on two-point conversions. So all those little things really fell into place last night. I just couldn't be more proud of our boys.
Yeah, everything went right for Harbor Creek last night, and the result is a huge win. Harbor Creek had played Parma Western and Hastings in back-to-back weeks in the conference. Those two teams were two of the favorites, along with Harbor Creek, to win the league this year. And also two teams that Harbor Creek's had trouble with the last several years. Parma Western had a winning streak against you guys. Hastings also did. But getting those two wins felt like a championship game situation. Mathematically, you still have to win a couple more games this year to clinch a share. But you have a game up on Hastings. You have two games up on the rest of the conference that way, with a couple games left and by several other people in the league. And talk about that championship effort and the boys buying into that championship effort and feeling like champions after they won the game.
I mean, we really, back in the winter when we knew we had this three-game stretch of Kenowa Hills, Parma, and Hastings, we knew this was going to be the gauntlet of the season. And if we could come out of this winning two out of three, we knew it would be successful. We would be having a pretty good season, and we had our chances back against Kenowa, but took care of business against Parma and Hastings last night. And you know, we've taken our lumps over the past few years with those guys, and give them credit because that's what good teams do, and we've had to learn from that. And one of our boys put a quote on the board last night and just said, "It's not how many times you get knocked down; it's how you respond when you get knocked down." And so they've really bought into that and continue just to get better. And right now, we're playing some of our best football of the season, and you want to be playing your best football this season going down the stretch. We've talked all year about how it's a marathon, not a sprint. And just last night was a fantastic effort. I mean, to hold the ball for 34 minutes and have Hastings only had 10 minutes of possession. We had 24 first downs and they had six. We were 7 of 10 on third downs and they were 1 of 4. So that was huge. And then Chase Nichols, we run behind our big offensive line. That's no secret. And Chase Nichols became the 13th player in school history last night to rush for 1,000 yards. He was, I think, at 1,078 now for the season with two games to go. Jesus is really becoming a nice running threat. And he's not a big part of our run game, but he scrambles when need be, and he puts his shoulder down and lowers the boom on players and gets the team going. And they are really following his lead. And he had 67 big yards on the ground. And one big play in the second half that was really a backbreaker where he was scrambling. We were trying to throw the ball, and he got flushed out of the pocket and scrambled. I thought he was just going to run forward and get as many yards as he could have. And kind of last minute, he made a Patrick Mahomes kind of play to Dylan Eversall and ended up being a huge gain for us and got us across the 50. And that was – there were several plays like that. I mean, that's just kids having fun playing backyard football right there. And that's the kind of chemistry they've developed. And it's just great to see those guys that continue to put in the work finally see that come to fruition. So couldn't be more proud of them. Matthew Winsauer, Tyler Weisler, Kamari Hampton, Cam Converse all had meaningful carries on the ground. And they don't get the big yards that Chase does, but they're all in for big, important downs, grinding out first downs, not fumbling the ball, and making big blocks for Chase as well, too. And that was huge. And then on defense, I can't say enough about our defense and how they're playing this year. And to shut down a team that's been averaging something like 35 points a game, to hold them to zero, that's pretty special right there.
You talked about it a little bit already, but that start was so huge for the way that game went from there. And you know, like you said, winning the coin flip and then keeping the ball, going on a 9-minute drive and then stopping them and then going on another drive. It amounted to you held the ball for nearly 22 minutes of the first half, and the first half is only 24 minutes long, and three drives, and then you lead 24-0 at halftime. And then I was telling some people in the press box at that time, you know, well, Hastings can do the exact same thing in the second half. They're going to get the ball, and if they go down and drive, and then it's a whole different game. But you come up with that interception to start the second half, and then that's kind of a backbreaker for them. And getting those long drives, eating that clock, is the way that you drew it up. But to see it all happen like that, like you said, you have to commend a lot of people in that offensive line and that running game, and then Jesus Macedo, doing the job. And Jesus Macedo was the WBCK player of the game last night for his result. And congrats to him. But that whole team situation and the way you controlled the clock, controlled the game from the start was big.
It absolutely was. And to come out, so to get to force that fumble right before halftime on the 1 yard line, then to drive 99 yards. And my goal was to just not give them the ball back, because I'm thinking if they score going into half, they're going to preach how they get the ball coming out of half and now they can tie it up. And so for us to go back down and score and 99 yards at that, that was huge. Really stole any kind of momentum they might have had. They were walking off with their heads hanging a little bit because we're up 24-0 at halftime now. And then to come out, get that stop. I mean, Teagan Turnbull, we feel like he's been challenged the past few weeks. When offenses need a play, we feel like they've been going at him. And he's been taking that personal and trying to get better each week. And so for him to make, I mean, he made a big hit right before halftime. They got the ball back with about 37 seconds left, and we're kind of driving on a little two-minute drill, and he made a big hit to cause an incomplete pass right before halftime, and actually made the big hit on the fumble before halftime, and then reading the play the whole way and making that interception to start the second half. That was huge, and I'm really proud of him and how he continues to battle each week. And Braden Best led us with 7 tackles last night. Teagan had another 4. Ricky Johnson, who's, you know, really our best player, and he had 8 tackles last night. They ran at him early, then they decided they were going to run the other way because he was making every play. And Jimmy Leamy, I think I said Best led us with 7 tackles. Jimmy Leamy actually led us with 11 tackles. So when the linemen are, you know, making plays and taking up linemen, then our linebackers can fill. And Jimmy had an outstanding game. And he's really, I've said this before, he's like our quarterback on the field. He makes a lot of calls and a lot of automatic adjustments for us. So he understands what's going on and what the game plan is. And to have somebody like that on the defensive side, a senior that knows what he's doing and studies the game, that's a nice feeling as a coach. And then Carson Doherty added another 7 tackles. And he's another one of those players that just continues to play and work hard and battle. He's not one of the big name players that everybody talks about, but he's one of those guys that works his butt off and is really important to have teams and seasons like we're having right now.
So now the season goes forward. You're playing your rival Marshall, and that'll be the WBCK game of the week next week, going to Marshall. Harbor Creek's at Marshall, and you'll have a chance to clinch a share of the title next week with a win there. And when they say Marshall Harbor Creek, that's just some special words in terms of a rivalry around this area. And you like playing those city rivalries early in the year, but this Marshall-Harbor Creek rivalry is something special, right?
This is one that goes back a long time to the Greenman and Hulkow days, and we know and they know there have been a lot of years where Marshall's been ranked high or Harbor Creek's been ranked high and the other team has won. And then they have reversed that in the playoffs, and there's a lot of times they've played 2 times in a year because they'll meet regular season and then the playoffs. And so it doesn't matter what their record is. Their record isn't what they would want it to be right now. But if they win their last 2 games, there's a chance they get in the playoffs, because I think they're 3-4 right now. So we know they'll come ready to play. It's at their field. It's probably something like Hall of Fame night or senior night. I mean, something that'll be getting the fans all riled up. Plus, it's just Marshall Harbor Creek. So we can't take any time off. We can't pat ourselves on the back for too long. We'll enjoy this for another day. But we know that we got to go to Marshall, and it's not a easy place to play. And if we want to have the title to ourselves and not share it, we have to continue to take care of business.
Yeah, you can't stub your toe, like you said last night. A couple of games still left on the schedule, and Marshall is the big one coming forward. And they have a real strong running game, a real strong back that can grind out yards. You guys have that big defensive line to kind of stop that. But that's going to be the key. And then they also can be diverse a little bit. They have a tall quarterback in Austin Miller at 6'5". So they can, whatever you're trying to take away, they can maybe go a different direction. So that's something to think about this week, right?
Yep. We know they've got some talented players. And Miller is about as talented of a quarterback as we've faced all year. So, and they've got some big dudes up front as well, too. So we know they'll be ready to play. And we've got to be ready, and we will be.
I'm sure the Harbor Creek faithful will be heading down the road, heading down Michigan Avenue to get to Marshall, and seeing that'll be a big game next week. It'll be the game of the week on WBCK. It'll be the game of the week in the Battle Creek Inquirer also. Exciting game to look forward to, and see if Harbor Creek can clinch a share of the league title. Congrats, Coach, on the win last night.
Thanks a lot.
We'll be talking to Coach and the rest of the coaches next week as we come back to you next Saturday for another edition of Coach's Corner. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. This has been WBCK 95.3 FM.